get started, guys. We started with the Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Nun. It's listing off over there a number of takanos that happened in Usha. And the nature of a lot of these takanos seems to be to make the, you know, kind of like Mivnei Tikkun HaOlam, that we want the world to be a little more livable, a little more palatable, and we're trying to adjust certain dinim, not to change halachas, but just to adjust or create or adjust certain dinim to make the world a little bit better. So one of the examples that the Gemara gives over there is Amar Rabbi Yilah, B'usha Iskinu, HaMevazvez Al Yivazvez Yoser Mechomesh. So if you give money, Rashi says over here, you give money to tzedakah, la'aniyim, HaMevazvez la'aniyim, so you're not supposed to give more than 20% of your money to tzedakah. So it's interesting. The Gilyan HaShas on this Gemara sends you to the Yerushalmi in Peya. So it says, "Be Yerushalmi de Peya kachoisa halacha biyadam." There was such a halacha l'Moshe Misinai that they had v'shakhua, and then they forgot it. V'chazru v'amdu hashniim v'hiskimu al das rishonim, and then the later generations re-established it in conjunction with the earlier generations. So I honestly have no idea what that means. I mean, if you forgot it, how did you ever find out that it was actually originally the halacha? I really have no idea what that means. But Lemaisa, so the Yerushalmi seems to claim that this was once upon a time a din de oraisa. You're not supposed to give more than a chomesh to tzedakah. Right? I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Avera song, but that is in fact one of the Averas that he does. In the Avera song, he says, "I give more than a chomesh to tzedukah." So that's one of the big Averas that he does. So that's... So you have to, that's one of the reasons why it's such a good song, is you have to know a little something to understand why the Averis are as terrible as they are. So the Gemara here is saying that it's just a takana. Usha and the Yerushalmi seems to be saying that it's a full-fledged din de oraisa that was somehow forgotten and reestablished. Again, no idea how that works, but again, there is source to say that this is really a din min haTorah. And the Gemara tells you, what's the reason for this takana? Shema yitztarech lebrios. Maybe you will need people's tzedakah. For whatever reason, once they start repeating this halacha, so they add in the word shema ye'ani v'yitztarech lebrios. But the actual Gemara that we have, at least, says shema yitztarech lebrios. It makes no nafkamina, just pointing it out, that we always see the lashon in the achronim as shema ye'ani v'yitztarech lebrios. So either way, one of the Asara Harugi Malchus didn't want people to give more than 20% of their money to tzedakah. And then the Gemara continues, which is a strange continuation to the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman. V'itema Rav Acha bar Yaakov, my kra. What's the pasuk? Just stop me right there. What do you mean, what's the pasuk? There's no pasuk. It's takanas usha. We know the reason. So then the Gemara says, my kra. What's the pasuk from which we learn this din? Very strange, you know, thing the Gemara is trying to do over here. So what does the Gemara answer? Am Rav Nachman Tamer Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Maikra, V'chol Asher Titen Li Aser Aaserenu Lach. So he quotes the pasuk. Who's the state? Who is the individual who made that statement? V'chol Asher Titen Li Aser Aaserenu Lach. Yaakov Avinu. Right. What did he just do? He just woke up from his famous dream at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, and he says he makes a whole shavua neder according to the pasuk. It's a neder, right? He makes a whole neder, and he says, "If HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes good care of me, etc., etc., v'chol asher titen li asera aserenu lach." So I'm guessing, I don't know, I didn't check the art scroll or the various translations, but I will surely tithe, right? It's a double lashon, So usually we say Dibra Torah Kalashin B'nei Adam. Torah speaks in the similar fashion to humanity, and therefore when the Torah doubles the Lashon, it's for emphasis. So I will surely tithe all that I receive. I'll surely give a tenth. However, if you want a darshan on a level of drash, what do you have? Aser ha'aserenu, right? I will give a tenth and a tenth. So I'll give 20%. Ah, yes, the Gemara, not so fast, right? V'ha lo, I don't have the place anymore. V'ha lo dami yisura basra li yisura kama. So the second tenth is less than the first tenth, right? If you just do the math, I am terrible at math. But this math I can do. If you have $100, right? And you want to give 20% of 100, how much is that?
That's
20% of 100 is 20, right? There you go. Right? I found somebody who's worse than me in math. So that's 20. However, if you give a tenth and a tenth, how many is that? 19. That's not 20%. That's in fact 19%. Right? So how do you make it work according to the math? So Omar Rav Ashi Aaserenu Labasra Kikama. It's a hekish. Aser Aaserenu means I'll give a tenth and a tenth. Not I'll give a tenth and then I'll give another tenth. They're both the same tenth. So I'll give a double tenth. That's how he wants to say the Darshan the Pasuk. So it's very interesting because we're darshaning the pasuk, and then we're asking Akasha, that's not the right way to darshan the pasuk. How can you? What do you mean? Who cares? Why should we care that we're darshaning the pasuk? It was a takanas usha. Why do we even need the pasuk in the first place? And then furthermore, we want to get the pshat correct. You hear? What do we care if the pshat in the pasuk is correct or not correct? It's a takana. So you want to say, all right, we like to have asmachtas, right? So I'm very big fan of the Rambam's interpretation of asmachtas, which is just, it's a mnemonic device that Chazal used. They said, people, listen, everybody loves Torah, right? All Jews love Torah. But, and they really, really love Torah Shebichsav. Probably especially in those days, because everybody used to lay in their own aliyah, so people knew the Torah Shebichsav. Nowadays, you want to, who knows the pasuk says this? So you find the one guy in the room who's a Bal Kore, he'll know it, right? But in those days, everybody was a Bal Kore. So everybody knew at least Chumash fairly well, right? So everybody likes to know the Psukim in the Torah. And then when Chazal had a Din D'Rabbanan, so not everybody learns Mishnah and Gemara, so Chazal had a Din D'Rabbanan, so they were masmichid onto a Pasuk. They wanted you to understand the Pasuk well, and they wanted you to understand the din, excuse me, and to remember that it exists. So they looked in the Torah for a pasuk that sort of alluded to that yisod. That if you looked at the pasuk, it would remind you of that din. So the Torah would become like a rashi prakim for these dinim derabbanan. But only once Chazal told you that that's what the pasuk was talking about. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it, it wasn't what the pasuk was talking about. It's only after Chazal made their takana derabanan, or another example would be if they had halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai, and they wanted you to remember the halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai, which is not alluded to in the text. So they took the halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai and they replugged it, they reverse plugged it into the pasuk. But that's not really what the pasuk is meaning to say. So that's the Rambam's interpretation. So even according to the Rambam, it's still a little iffy. At least according to the Rambam, it's not bad, because we want people to remember the correct halacha. So we take the pasuk and we say aser aserenu lo. So we want people to remember the correct halacha, and thus they didn't want you to be misled into thinking you're only supposed to give 19%. They wanted you to know you could give a full 20%. And thus, they plugged it into a pasuk, aser aserenu. That's going to be misleading. People are going to think you only have to pay 19%. No, I mean, or you're not allowed to pay more than 19%. So you say, no, it's isura kama and isura basra are the same, and therefore it equals 20%. So that worked out according to the Rambam. And the Ritva has this whole tirade, right, where he says that's pretty much apikursis. You can't say that the asmachtas are not meant by the Torah. And he says that there's it's hard to understand exactly what the Ritva holds they are. Based on a Maral, if you plug the two together so you can sort of get a picture of what the Ritva really means, that there's different levels of drash. That, in other words, when I read the Pasuk, something which is extremely compelling, using the Midrash Torah and the Dreshes Bohem, I really see that this is clearly what the Torah is trying to tell me. So that gets us a Daraisa level din. So I can darshan the Torah on a level of Daraisa by saying, listen, I read the Pasuk. This is clearly what the Pasuk is talking about. So that's din Daraisa. However, there are other types of dinim where Chazal read the Torah and they say, listen, the Torah is not outright telling me this, but clearly this is the theme. It's the message that I'm getting from the Torah. I see the Torah is clearly leaning in a certain direction. Right? So we look at Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu never told us that we're supposed to give 20% or no more than 20% to tzedakah or any other mitzvah. But on the other hand, here he is saying that he's going to do it. So understood from that is that the Ratzon Hashem, by telling us this story of Yaakov Avinu, is that we too should find it to be a good thing to give 20% of our monies to Hashem. And therefore there's a theme being developed here. There's an underlying Ratzon Hashem that we should also be trying to do something like that. And thus, we can figure that there is such a din that you can give 20%. I were afraid maybe 20% is the minimum, maybe it's the Midas Beinoni, maybe it's average. No. So we say you're not allowed to give more than 20% because Shemi Yitzdarach Lebrios. So if you start giving too much, then you're going to become poor yourself, and it's going to be a self-defeating mitzvah. You're going to try to help the poor by giving money, and then you yourself are going to become poor and need their money. So the same money you gave all your money to is just going to end up recycling it back to you. So it's going to become a vicious cycle. You hear? So that could be why the Torah is so makbid that it should be 20% based on this pasuk. Yeah.
Is there an afkamina between a regular Durabanan and a Durabanan with the smacht of Ritva?
I don't think so. They still call the din Durabanan. I'm not aware of any differences. I mean, I don't think it gets to the status of Divrei Kabbalah or something like that just because it has an asmachta. Yeah.
Where are the Ritva in Maral?
Ah, good question. And I'll let you know later. The Ritva is in Rosh Hashanah somewhere. The Maral is at the very beginning of one of the Svarim. I forgot. I'll get back to you. I have it written down somewhere. Anybody remember offhand that Ritva? Rosh Hashanah? What? Maybe it is. It could be it's two places, but I'm familiar with it from Rosh Hashanah, but it could be it's elsewhere. Mm-hmm. What? No, I have it written down. What? I don't think so. I think it's at the beginning. It's a very beginning. Maybe even it's either the Hakdama or the first parak of one of the Svarim that I never learned. I actually learned the Teferes Yisrael. So this one I just looked up. This one I saw... quoted somewhere. If you want to understand this Ritva better, look in the Sefer of Maral, and I looked it up, but that's first of all, I've actually read the book, so I don't think it's in there, but I'm just not remembering. Okay, so what? Where? In Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Tezayin. Okay so moving forward, so one more thought on this Gemara is There's a famous yesod of the Taz. He's not the one who started it, but it's found other places as well. Minchas Chinuch likes to quote it as well. There's a yesod of the Taz that the Chachamim never do anything that goes against a pasuk in the Torah or certainly not a mitzvah in the Torah. Right? The example that he gives is specific to blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, right? So he says, once the Chachamim invented this Isser of Hashmoas Kol, they said you're not allowed to play musical instruments on Shabbos and Yontif, so we should not be allowed to blow shofar either, Right? So one answer he gives, I think, is that shofar is not really an instrument. It's just straight sounds, not really musical in any way. But the second answer that he gives, which is the one that got popularity, is that Chazal, they might cancel a mitzvah in the Torah on a temporary basis, but they'll never do anything to go right and contradict a mitzvah in the Torah. And therefore, they're never going to make a din. The Torah says, blow shofar, and the Chacham are never going to come out and say, don't blow shofar. Right? Maybe they could say, don't blow shofar this year, but they're never going to say, don't blow shofar ever. So if you were going to say, shofar is also mishum hashmuas kol, so then they're going to say that shofar is always usher and the mitzvah is canceled, right? Okay, that's what the Taz says. I don't want to get discussion of the Taz, but that yisod is used very often in different places. So one of the places that you could perhaps use it is in something like this: when the chachamim are making a takana, you could say, I'm not suggesting that it's true, but you could say that the chachamim wanted to stop you at an earlier amount. The Chachamim wanted to stop you at 10%. They wanted to stop you at 15%. But the problem is, they had a pasuk in the Torah where Yaakov Avinu was doing it with more than 15%. He was giving away 20%. And thus, the Chachamim were not willing to overtly contradict what the Torah seems to say Yaakov Avinu's good deed was by telling us we're not allowed to do it. And thus, they wanted to say, all right, based on the pasuk of Asera Asrenu, we're going to cap it at 20%. Again, it's a thought. I don't have any raya that that's true. But we have examples that are similar, like the takana of a Beis Asayim by Erevin, that they didn't... anybody know what that is?
Yeah,
the smallest shear of a... Ship. Maybe. I don't know. Everything's a suicide. Yeah.
But an area that's based on 50 by 100, if it's not mukaf adira, so you can't carry in there.
Right. So let's say you have, it happens with different cases of lakes. That's why if you go to the Five Towns Eruv, so you notice in the back of DRS they have a gate, not a real gate, like a halachic gate. What? Not Surah Zapesach. It's got to be better. They have a machitza that they built out of some kind of mesh or whatever around the lake, right? So that happened when they fixed up the Eruv probably about 10 years ago in the Five Towns. So that's one of the reasons, because that lake is a large area, larger than Beis Asayim, and it's not mukaf ladira at all, obviously, and it's not allowed to be included in the main Eruv. So they had to put a fence around it that kept it out of the Eruv. So where did they get those measurements from? So again, there's a concept that if you have this large open area that's not surrounded for the purposes of living there, you can't carry within it. It's a din d'rabbanan. So what's the reason that they... Where they get the... Forget about the reason why they made the takana, but what's the... Where they get the dimensions from? The Mishkan. They got the dimensions from the chatzar of the Mishkan. So who cares? What does that have to do with the Mishkan? Everything from Shabbos has to do with the Mishkan. What's the reason for the Mishkan?
Because
they were allowed to carry the Mishkan, and the Chachamim aren't going to say, oh, Aaron HaKohen and Elazar HaKohen, they were a bunch of shkatzim, God forbid, and they were carrying and violating an Issur D'Rabbanan of doing Avodah in the Mishkan because it's an area that was Lohukav Ladira, and that's we're not allowed to carry in such places. So, what? Yeah, but even so, when they're making a takana l'charchila, they're not going to make it so that it's against what they were doing in the Mishkan. So therefore, they said it has to be larger than the area of the Mishkan, and then we'll make a takana that says you can't carry in there even, quote-unquote, with an Eruv. Right? So that was the takana. But again, we're not looking to overtly contradict Maisim Tovim that are found in the Torah by our tzaddikim. So perhaps that's the svara that the Gemara is looking for over here. They say we have a pasuk which says the Gemara is not trying to say where'd they get this idea that you shouldn't give away all your money. No, they had an idea in their head, don't give away all your money, and they wanted to know what number to cap it at, and they wanted to figure out should it be 10%, 15%, 18%, right? Everything's high, so let's make it 18%. So we said no. It's not going to be 18% because Yaakov Avinu gave 20%. And therefore, we didn't want to go against what Yaakov Avinu did, which is clearly viewed in our context of the Torah as a good deed. And thus, they capped it at 20% based on the Torah. Then Gemara asks, maybe they should have capped it at 19%. Because that's really, if you read it, what he would have given. And the Gemara answers, no, it's 20% because he meant 20% when he said Aser Asrenu. That's how you read the Pasuk. So maybe that's how you understand that Gemara. Okay? Is that clear? Okay. All that being said, so what is the status in the end of this mitzvah of this din not to give more than 20%? So did you guys get a chance to see that Chasam Sofer? Probably not. It's a little down the line on the Makoros. Right? So if you get a chance, read this little piece that I took out of the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. So what does the Chasam Sofer say? Let's look at it together. Right? Really, what's the din of tzedakah? So if you have all your money for the day, and you know you're not going to need to spend anything else on yourself, it's amazing the way, even in the times of Chasam Sofer, which is fairly recently, in terms of Jewish history, the Chasam Sofer was Kiilu yesterday. But it's amazing how people used to view the world. No one in the world today would ever say, I have enough money, because there's no such number. You could always raise your standard of living another level, another level, another level. There's no such thing as having enough money. Right? But it's just not a way we think. Right? I don't want to go off on a huge tirade. We have a shorter shir today. But I'll go on a mini tirade. Right? I have seen, in where I live, is known as a wealthy area. Saying, I live in a wealthy area. And I have seen the levels just be jacked up and up and up in terms of what the minimum standard of living is and what the minimum standard of luxury is. No one would have had a Havamina. Forgetting about the whole German car business, I'm saying nobody would have had a Havamina that they needed anything better than a Lexus even 5 years ago. Lexus, Infiniti, like the Chashava Japanese cars. Now, that's not even high-end anymore. I'm saying like they have people driving Italian cars and like cars that like are literally houses on wheels. You know, they have what you would pay for a home, that's what people pay for a car. Like it's there's no such thing as having enough money anymore, because it's not, you could just pay for a more expensive car. You could put, you have five people in your family, so you have to build a 7-bedroom house. Makes sense if you think about it. You know, and if you have a 7-bedroom house, so you have to build a 12-bedroom house. Saying, but that's not the way people used to think, even very recently. I have the money that I need. I just ate dinner. Mela, I don't need anything else for the day. I'm good. All right, enough. So So he's saying here, you have to give the rest of your money, if you're good to go, you have to give the rest of your money to tzedakah. Say, there are poor people in the world. You ate dinner, you're good, you're going to go back to work tomorrow and make more money. So give the rest of your money to tzedakah, and you should end the day, every day, assuming that's how you get paid, you should end your salary cycle with $0 in the bank. Every time. That's what you should really do. What's the only limitation that you need? Right? It says, Rak Chayav Kodman. Right? We learn, the Gemara teaches us from the Pasuk of Chay Achicha Imach, Chayecha Kodman, Lachayecha Vercha. Right? Your life comes first. So therefore, if it's a matter of you eating or him eating, you eat. You have to take care of your family before you take care of somebody else's family. But nevertheless, that should be the only limitation. Avol Kol Sheyesh Lo Dei Parnasas Yomo, yes sir, Shar Mamono, Le'ani Hatzarech, right? So he says you should give all of the, that word yes sir should probably be Yitain, because yes sir and Shar together don't, I don't know, whatever. So he says you should give the rest of your money to the poor. Rak V'usha Eskino Shalei Yivaz V'zaltim Yosem Yechomesh V'samchu Akro Aser Asrenu, right? So he's saying that in Usha, they were misakein, that you should not give more than 20%. But really, midin Torah, you got to give it all away. You give away all your money, and then tomorrow you'll make more money. And the only time you cap The amount of money you're supposed to give away is if you say, listen, if I give away one more penny, I'm not going to have enough to support my family. Right? Okay, everybody has different definition of what that means. But lemaisa, that should be the hypothetical cap, minat Torah. And midrabbanan, they said, don't give away more than 20%. Fine. That is the din of, that's the way the Chasam Sofer wants to learn. The question is, where do you come off saying such a thing? How do you come off saying you're not supposed to give away more than 20% of your money? The Torah says, give it all away. So what, we don't have bitachon and Hashem? We don't have, it doesn't make any sense. Where is the din coming from that you're allowed to say, don't give tzedakah? The Torah says, give tzedakah, and Chazal is saying, don't give tzedakah. So says the Netziv, in the Merom Yisadeh, take a look if you have the sheet, right? So the Netziv is talking about the Gemara we mentioned yesterday, where it says, b'mitzvah ad shlish. Are you supposed to give up to a third for a mitzvah? And the Gemara says, wait a second, what are you talking about? To spend money on a mitzvah, you're supposed to give away a third of your money? So if you have three mitzvahs at once, you're going to give away all your money. You're not supposed to spend all that money. So that's a good kasha. We had a kasha on the math here. There's a bigger kasha on the math there. But nevertheless, the Gemara says, you don't have to give away all your money. So says the Netziv, Atam she'ein tzarech litim b'shvil mitzvah. Why don't you have to give away all your money for a mitzvah? Nira mishum de klal hu. We have a rule. The kavod abrios doche b'sheval taseh. Quotes the Gemara, which says that gadol kavod abrios she doche losa seisha b'torah. Right, the Gemara in Brachas. He quotes the Gemara in Brachas here at the end. Yutesimid beis that kavod abrios is doche a losa seisha b'torah. The question is, what losa say? So what it really means is, it's doche a mitzvah b'sheva al taseh. If sitting back and doing nothing will lead to kavod abrios, then it's mutter not to do a mitzvah saseh midaraisa in order for kavod abrios to be fulfilled. And if you give away all your money, you're going to have to be machzer al apsachim. You're going to be the one who's collecting tzedakah. And we know that's not very mechubad. That's not very, you know, kavod abrios oriented, for you'd have to be schnarring door to door to get make a parnasa. So therefore, because of kavod abrios, they said you don't have to give away more than 20% of your money. Shemi etzdarech lebrios, because you are going to need tzedakah yourself. And thus they capped it at 20%. Yeah.
What's the source of kavod abrios?
What is the source of kavod abrios? I don't even know. Anybody know? I don't think the Gemara does. The Gemara in Bracha say it. The Gemara assumes it, but I'm just saying they quote a source.
It's invoked so often.
It doesn't invoke. When have you heard it invoked? Right. So it's being mitami lachoso? That's the source? Okay, I forgot already. Kavod abrios means human dignity. Preserving human dignity. So to preserve human dignity, you're allowed to violate a mitzvah in the Torah, b'sheva al taseh. So this is an example. Really, the Torah is screaming at you, give, 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 give. And you could say, listen, I'm capping it at 20%. Chazal said, I'm capping it at 20% because I'm being doche in mitzvah saseh min haTorah b'sheva al taseh. I'm not giving because I'm afraid that I myself will become poor and then I will, it'll be a lack of kavod abrios for me. Okay. So this is a little bit of background into this yisod of Al Yivaz Yosef Michomish. So plugging it into our case, what do we have? We have the case of the guy only has five slime to his name, and we say, give it away for the mitzvah. Right? We had two different cases. One, he only has five slime of actual cash, and then he has another five slime in Meshubadim that he sold. And we say, give away both. Right? Give it all away. And not only that, but we say that a person is chayev if it's Ali al Regel, he's chayev if it's, you know, just pidyon haben, maybe not aliyah l'regel. So we're basically have our sugyas have the guy giving away 100% of his money in order to do a mitzvah. So yesterday we already mentioned that maybe you could argue that the idea of amavazveis only applies to tzedakah, but l'maisa, the poskim don't treat it that way. The Rama treats it that it is shayach to all mitzvahs asay, and he writes that in Hilchos Sukkah, in Hilchos Lulav Esrog, excuse me, and he writes that There is a chiyuv not to give more than 20% of your money. And the Bir Halacha over there goes crazy. He says, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? What, we have a Gemara in Kiddushin by us, which says clearly you got to give it all away. So how are we not giving away all of our money? It's easy enough. You just had our Gemara. So what would you say? You would say that, yeah, the mitzvah of Al Yavaz Yosef Michomesh is only for tzedakah. Because it's ironic. We like the irony. Right? What's the irony? The irony is that you were trying to help the poor and you became poor. So we like to avoid that. Right? We don't want you to become poor so because you gave tzedakah. But other mitzvahs, well, who says you can't become poor by buying a nicer esrog? Who says you can't become poor by buying an esrog? Who says you can't become poor by doing mitzvahs pidyon haben? So, but lemaisa, if you look in Tosos and that Gemara in Ksuvis, wait, put that Tosos and Ksuvis on the, yeah, Tosos and Ksuvis and many other Rishonim treat it as shayach to all mitzvahs. And that's how the Ramah paskins. So you see that you're not supposed to give away more than 20% for all mitzvahs. So how is it that our Gemara has you giving away more than 20%? Simple kasha. So we said yesterday that the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha suggests that it's what? What kind of case are we talking about? Yeah, you have a job. You have a consistent parnasa. And you know that even when you run out of money today, you'll make a parnasa tomorrow. And thus, you're not going to become poor. Yeah. Right, so that's the kasha that we asked at the end of Shir yesterday. We said, wait a second, Mamonoshach, it doesn't work. Right? And it happens to be Rav Moshe quotes this Teretz of Bir Halacha and he just says, ah, Eino Nochem Klal. Right? So I don't know what his taina was. He didn't even bother making a taina. He just says, it's Eino Nochem Klal. But the taina that I thought of when I read the Bir Halacha was, Mamonoshach, it shouldn't work. Because if we view the money that you're going to make tomorrow as a sure thing, and we say that, no, it's Ki'ilu, you already have the money. So, okay, so now we're going to say that, tell the Kohen, I'm going to give you some of the money today, and I'm going to give you the rest of the money tomorrow. Ah, you'll say, no, that's not how it works. Since today you don't have the money, you give him the 5 slime cash that you have, and then you send him chasing after the guy who bought your property to seize the other 5 slime. How dare you? You're going to make 5 slime tomorrow, guaranteed. How dare you send him after the Lekuchos? So the answer is because we only look what he has right now. But if you only look at what he has right now, you shouldn't even give him the 5 slime that you have. B'chazar adin, right? It's a circular problem. Either we do look at what you have coming tomorrow, or we don't. Generally speaking, we say, Ein la mitzvah el shaita, right? Just the kitzer, there's a famous machlokas between the Ramban and the Baal HaMor. Right? When you know if you're gonna do a mitzvah of Mila, and you know afterwards you're definitely going to have to be Mechal Shabbos, 100% guaranteed, you're gonna have to be Mechal Shabbos. Right? Simple example that's different than the case that they're dealing with, but the baby is guaranteed, there's something wrong with the baby that you know it's going to survive, but you also know you're gonna have to drive the baby to the hospital after you do the Bris Mila. 100% guaranteed. The mol takes, or the doctor in the shul, and moles are not doctors. It's very important to keep that in mind. Doesn't mean they don't know anything. They know a lot, but they're not doctors. Doctors are doctors, right? Rabbanim are not doctors, and doctors are not rabbanim. Very important to keep these things in mind, right? So the unless they are, you know, there are rabbi doctors who are both rabbis and doctors. Most rabbi doctors are not doctors. They are professors of something, or lav dafka, you know, they have a PhD in something. But isn't that Rabbi Lamb's famous line? I'm a rabbi, and when he became the president, he was the president of YU for a long time, so he said, I'm a rabbi who doesn't teach and a doctor who doesn't heal. So the bottom line is here, the doctor says, if you give the kid the Mila, he will survive if he gets immediate medical attention, but that's going to necessitate taking him to the hospital. So the Baal HaMor says, don't do the Bris Mila on Shabbos. Because you know in advance you're going to, meaning to be Mechal Shabbos, to do the actual Mila, that's for sure mutter. But to do the Pikuach Nefesh afterwards, it's not so pashut. And the Ramban says, no, Ein la mitzvah el shaita. That's his line that everybody likes to quote. Ein la mitzvah el shaita. You look at the mitzvah as it is right now. Basher Husham, the mitzvah is to do the Mila. Whatever happens afterwards, happens afterwards. Right? So the Ramban says, do the, you look at mitzvos, you sort of have tunnel vision. You look at the mitzvah for right now, and whatever we have to do to save the kid afterwards, we'll do. We don't think, oh, if I do it now, I'm going to be Chal Shabbos afterwards. No, we don't care. So it's a mashal for this case, not the real same case. But do we look at the money that the guy has tomorrow that's coming in? Or do we say, no, we look at the money the guy has today. So if you look at the money the guy has today, so how can you say the Bi'ur Halacha is Chiddush? Oh, tomorrow I'll have more money, so you can give away all his money today. Right? But if you look at the money that he has coming in tomorrow, how can you send the guy running after the Lekuchos, say, oh, seize the property from somebody else? He's going to have more money tomorrow. Don't make him take the money away from the guy who didn't do anything wrong. So it's a little bit of a circular problem. Yeah?
So it wasn't just an answer. Maybe it's because, what's the whole issue if he pays money and he loses all his money? He's going to have, it's a lack of covered up rios. So as far as he's concerned, he knows he's getting money tomorrow. Therefore, he can give away his money today because he knows he's going to make money tomorrow and there won't be a covered up rios issue. Whereas Basin has an obligation right now. They see that there's a debt. They see that there's a penurion of ben that's required. They are obligated to act right away. So Basin looks at the here and now, whereas he's able to look at tomorrow because the whole issue by him giving away all his money is covered up rios. But if he knows he's getting money tomorrow, there will be a lack of covered up rios.
Right, so you had me until the Basin thing.
Who's
Basin? Well, they don't care. We don't care about it. It's not that Basin plays by a separate set of rules and I play by a certain set of rules. What I like what you're saying is that the rules that govern this takan of Ayiv Azvez are not the same rules that govern every other mitzvah. Because the Gemara, and that's pretty much what the Bi'ur Halacha is suggesting. The whole mitzvah here is totsah oriented. We're saying, in the end, are you going to be a poor man or you're not going to be a poor man? So if you give away the 5 shalim today, you're not going to be a poor man. You're not going to feel the difference. You're not going to feel the difference.
Right,
and thus, so when you give away all of your money today, you're not in violation of the takana.
And thus, basically, it can be
turf. Right, it's nothing to do with based in. It has to be just like, do the mitzvah. Right, so the problem with saying such a teretz is that you're saying that a lot of times we have the reason behind the takana, but that doesn't affect the nature of the takana. The takana still follows all the normal mitzvah rules. Right, so you're saying here, we're not following the normal mitzvah rules.
We don't even view that as you're giving away all your money, since you're so sure that you're receiving
it. Right, so you, it's another way of saying the same thing. You're not following the normal rules of when we make mitzvahs. Not following the rules of mitzvahs d'oraisa, mitzvahs d'rabbanan. By mitzvahs d'oraisa, mitzvahs d'rabbanan, we say, you look at the here and now, what is the status of the mitzvah right now? I'll give you a quick example. There was a Shiloh one time, I was Zochev, a few years ago to learn certain halachas in Shulchan Aruch with a major Talmud Chacham. So he was giving me a faher at the end of the whole situation. So there was a certain Shiloh where there's a chumrah of the Ramah in Yoredeya, and so he told me he once had this Shiloh. He was the posek in a certain bungalow colony and there was a case where this exact Basav Chol Shiloh came up. And he was makel because the Ramah says that it's a big chumrah and you don't have to be machmir if it's a hefsid merubah or a tzorech Shabbos. So he said this happened on Shabbos and it was a tzorech Shabbos. So I asked him, I said, you're in a bungalow colony with like 600 other Hasidic families that all have, thank God, plenty of food for Shabbos. Why are you going to call this a shasar chak? Because you're not going to be able to eat this food on Shabbos. You have other food to eat for Shabbos. And also, you're not, just go next door to the, it's not like at home where you have to walk a full 6 feet. Here you have to walk 6 inches and you're in the next house. So just go. He said to me a very interesting thing. He said that's not how the halacha works. He said, whenever we talk about a shasad chak or a big tzorech, we never take that into account. We only look at your situation as it pertains. And therefore, in this person's little mini world, in his Dalet Amos, so this was a Tzorech Shabbos, and therefore you rely on the Ramah. We don't find in Shulchan Aruch or in the Poskim that they say, go borrow from your neighbor, do this, ask a friend, if you have a nice relative, we'll take care of you. We don't find that. It says we always look at the individual and the situation that he's in right now. So you have to say that this mitzvah bucks the entire trend of that. We don't look at today's situation, we look at what's coming up tomorrow. It's also ridiculous that we assume that we know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't always know. Things happen. You know, so it's also a little bit ridiculous to say, we know for a fact you're going to make more money tomorrow. Really.
Like you have money now and you can just lose that money.
Yes, but that's, in other words, that's a lot different. Right? We have a klal, right? Ain't other mak nedavar shelo bala olam. We have a klal because there's no smichas das when it comes to davar shelo bala olam. Things that are probably going to happen, I plant a tree, chances are it's going to grow into a tree. Chances are that tree will bear fruit. That's the laws of nature, right? But still we say, You know, makna dover shelo balolam. You can't be makna that tree to somebody else until it grows. Right? You can't be makna those peros until they grow. Because there's no smichas das by dover shelo balolam. It's very, I don't know, I just think that it doesn't mean the Bir Halacha is wrong. But the Bir Halacha is saying, this rule breaks all the rules. This klal is against, you know, a lot of other klalei mitzvos. So you want to say that? Okay. But it's hard to say such a thing.
It's just the nature of this particular drug.
Again, that's what we're saying. It's a, this particular Darabanan is unlike every other mitzvah Darabanan and Daraisa. Okay, it could be true. Just come on, you know, a lot of things could be true, but you have to say what you think is true. So that's the teretz of Bir Halacha. Rav Moshe has an interesting teretz. If you get a chance, you should check it out. Rav Moshe has an interesting teretz where he says that it's talking. There's different types of mitzvos. There's different types of mitzvos. Mitzvos that say, listen, you should have a lulav and esrog. I don't have enough money to buy a lulav and esrog. Okay, so don't buy a lulav and esrog. But when the mitzvah says, pay the money, how can you say, I don't have enough money to pay the money? In those cases, you must pay the money. That's the mitzvah. When the mitzvah is to do something else, and doing that something else necessitates spending money, then you don't have to spend the money. But when the mitzvah is gufa to spend the money, so the Torah is telling you, do this, spend the money. And thus, you're chayav to do so, even if it's your last penny. You hear the difference? So two things. Number one, what's the logic behind such a svara? And number two, what's the problem with such a svara? So, l'chora, you could say the logic behind such a svara is the same as we've been saying all along. Right? The chazal, when they make a takana, they don't want it to fly in the face of a din in the Torah. They don't want it to fly in the face of a pasuk. When the pasuk says, pay the money, so you should pay the money. I covet abrius. Yes, so we said covet abrius applies when it's not overtly violating the Ratzon Hashem. Right? So we're saying that if the Torah says you should have a lulav and esrog on Sukkos, and the only way to do that is to buy one. But the Torah never said explicitly, buy a lulav and esrog. It says you should have one, take one. Right? So we discussed the other day, you know, the whole tzlach min chaskina, how far in advance do you have to go to start preparing for mitzvah. So clearly there's some preparation that's necessary. You can't show up on Sukkot and say, oh look, I don't have a dalet minim. Must be that I'm honest rachmana patre. No, that's ridiculous. Right? There has to be some preparation involved, but the Torah never said overtly, buy it. And therefore, you're not in violation of the words of the Torah when you don't buy it. But when the Torah says, pay 5 shlomim to the kohen, do that. And then Chacham say, no, don't do that. They don't like to do that. It's not kishmak. It's not, they don't want to overtly violate the words of the Torah. And therefore, the Chachamim didn't make this takana, even al tzkavad abrios, when it's flying in the face of the din d'oraisa. Yeah. So that's the kasha, right? So he said, what's the svara? So Lanias Daiti, that's a good svara, right? But the kasha is a good kasha. Tzedakah is paying the money, right? But based on what we just said, what's the answer? What? Right. Meaning, it doesn't say give the poor man 5 shloim. It says take care of the poor people, right? And you're not going to be able necessarily, unless you're an obscenely wealthy person, you're not going to be able to take even one poor man and just say, all right, here is enough money for you to live on for the rest of your life, take it. And now he's good to go, he's no longer poor. Most of the time, you do your share. You put a little bit of an investment into the poor person, and then you hope the rest of Klal Yisrael will also invest in this poor person. But there's no overt pasuk in the Torah saying, give this man X amount of dollars. So if you say that it's just like, yeah, when the Torah said spend money, then you have to spend the money. When the Torah said do something else, which necessitates spending money, then you don't have to spend the money. That's not the pshat. The pshat is, we're not looking to overtly violate a pasuk in the Torah. And thus, the pasuk in the Torah says, help the poor person. Give him some money, give him a meal, you know, get him a job, whatever the case may be. You know, and obviously it's understood that's to the best of your ability. And when it exceeds the best of your ability, which Chazal put at 20% of your money, then you're not mechuyav to go further than that. That's a suggestion perhaps within the das of Rav Moshe. Okay, the Chazon Ish, just I just want to wrap it up. Chazon Ish has a different suggestion. I highly recommend reading this inside. I put it on the back of the Maror HaMakom sheet. I underlined what I decided were the most important lines in the Chazon Ish for you to read. Now, that usually means you should read the whole thing. But whatever, I underlined it for, you know, in case you didn't want to read the whole thing. So first of all, I like the suggestion that he rejects. It's very cute. He says, wait a second. Why don't you just say that when the Gemara says, Ein lo ela hei slaim, how many slaim did he really have?
25.
He had 25 slaim to his name. So halakhically, how many slaim does he have to his name? 5. But he has 25. So he says it just doesn't work out mathematically. So he says, depends on whether you learn like Rashi or Tosos. Did he sell the field or did somebody else sell the field? Meaning, if you say he sold the field, so he really had 30. Because he got 5 slaim for the field, and thus he really should have had more. All right, read the Cheshbon. He says it's not going to work. But it's a cute suggestion. Anyway, just because we're short on time, what time is it actually? So by short on time, we have no time. So I'm going to wrap it up. So he says that really, what's the suggestion that we want to go with? So he says that. Really, you have to give 20% for a mitzvah. And here, you took all your money and you used them for personal matters. You saw the latest iPad, you know, you wanted to get the new iPad, and you had 30 slaim to your name. And you spent 25 slaim on an iPad. So who told you to do that? So you wanted to suggest that in a case where you took all your money and you spent it on personal items, which is mutter, you're not allowed to cry poverty when it comes to the mitzvah pinyan aben. You can't say, well, I had 30 slaim, but I spent 25 of them on an iPad, and now I don't have any more money to do the mitzvah. In those cases, everybody agrees you're still chayav to pay the money for the mitzvah. That's suggestion number one. And let me just get moving. And then the problem becomes, I mean, he uses that suggestion because he thinks that solves the problem of Aliyah L'Regel as well. He says, if you want to say this Teretz Pidyon HaBen is dafka when you have to spend a sum of money, Aliyah L'Regel, why is that a sum of money? You know, so he says that this suggestion helps. So he says, also by Aliyah L'Regel, you could suggest further. So he says, what money, and Rav Moshe has a similar vort like this, what money are we spending on Aliyah L'Regel? You're spending money for food, for lodging, for transportation. Technically, you could have gotten on your feet and walked to the Beis HaMikdash. It's free. Walking is free, usually. Right? So you could have gotten up and walked. So the mitzvah actually costs no money. Right? You don't have any money to spend on it. So essentially, you see from there that we're talking about spending money on a Dvar Rishus, where you're going to need it for the mitzvah later. So you don't actually need the 5 slaim to be Ola Regel. He says, and don't tell me it's a case where you have 5 slaim and it'll only cost you 1 sellout to be Ola Regel. So, but Mimono Shach, you're not going to have enough money for the Pidyon HaBen. So he says, that's not the case either. So he says, but the pshat is that if you use the money, even though the money is for Dvar Rishus, if you use up all the money on the Pidyon HaBen, you're just not going to be Ola L'Regel, because you don't want to show up in Yerushalayim as a shnorer. You're like, all right, it's bad enough to be a shnorer in my own community, where at least I know where to go and who to collect from. I know the local Rabbanim and they can help me out. I'm going to go to Yerushalayim where I don't live, and I'm going to start being a shnorer there? So it's not worth it. How am I going to do that? So Mimela, if you pay the 5 slaim to the Kohen, you're not going to have the money to be Ola L'Regel, regardless of whether you're at Mechuyiv to spend the money on Aliyah L'Regel, even if you argue that you're not. Since still. So he says, what's the real suggestion by the Kohen? He says, this goes back to what we were talking about the other day. Because the Kohen has a Sheba Nechasim on your money. The Kohen, whether or not you say it's a Din Pidyon, or just Din Tashlumin, or both, the Chazon Ish definitely thinks it's both. It says, but he has a Sheba Nechasim on your money. So it's Ke'ilu, you owe the money already to the Kohen. So when you owe money to a person, let's say you owe a guy $1 million. So right now you're a millionaire. But if you give him $1 million, you'll be a zeroer. So you say, well, I don't have to pay you back. or at least let me keep $200,000, you know, let me keep $800,000 for myself because I don't have to pay you back the money. That's not a taina. You have to pay him the money. And thus, Chazon Ish suggests that since he has a Shiba Nechasim on your money, you are mechuyev to pay back all of that. You're mechuyev to pay back all of it. Which would not apply to Lila Regal, therefore he suggests one of the two possible sfaras that we said. Either the money, you used all your other monies on Dvar Rishus, and you have to give away this because you shouldn't have spent all that money on Dvar Rishus and left yourself with nothing for a mitzvah, or that it's not that you have to spend five slime to be Ola Regel, it's just that you don't want to show up in Yerushalayim penniless. But the money you were going to spend on Lila Regel would be Dvar Rishus. So either way, that's the teretz that he suggests. Okay, and obviously he chaps the various nafkaminas that we don't have time to go through, but you can plug them into your brain, figure out what you would be chayav according to Mishnah Berurah, what you would be chayav according to Rav Moshe, Chazon Ish, etc. Anyway, have a great day, guys. What?
So did you get any shear for what exactly, you know, is it that if you give the entirety of your money besides for the 20%, is it that if you give 20, if you spend more than 20% of your own personal needs, like what does Chazon Ish say?
I'll read you what he says, I'm not sure.
Because that's like, I don't hear it directly. I if you spend more than 20%, maybe then you're saying that, yeah.
One second. Where does he say it here? Me when dying alone is Yashiva the time of Philippos Menov Lasa Regal, Loma Chayav Lalasa Regal, Kevin Chainal Rakesh Sloim, but Dokak Loma de Sagile Besela Echel Lalasa Regal. So that's what we said. Vim name of Diliolum Chayav Lahafish Chomesh Lemitzvah, for Kulshul Hifrish, for Achel Komashi Hirviach, meaning you should start off by separating out 20% from mitzvahs and then spend everything else what you want. Ukshabos, Mitzvah Yado, Chayav Ba, Ad Kidei Shehoya, Chayav Lahafish, Nicha Hakol. So if you say that svara, everything's good, meaning you had 25 to your name, so you have to separate out the 20% right off the bat. And now that and then you spent all the money on the iPad, so now it makes a lot of sense. Who told you to spend all of your money on other things, ad kidei kach, that you would have no money left to spend on mitzvos? You made the cheshbon in advance. You said, okay, I have 25 slime, let me spend 20 on the iPad, and now I have 5 for the pinyon aved. So that works. Or 5 for Aliyah LaRegel even. So he says, the Ayri Ba'achi, Shehir Viach Kvar, he had a lot of money, Ba'achlon, and he ate it up, Ba'achshav Ein Biyodah Rakei Slime. Now he only have 5 slime to his name. So you see that he's saying that it's a case where he made the right cheshbon.
Yeah, the 20% was the 5 slime. It can't be that. It's not sound that if you, let's say even according to
even if he didn't make the cheshbon, it's still a true cheshbon.
Yeah.
Saying, I used to be a very rich man. Then I bought an island in the Caribbean. So now I only have $100 left in my name. That doesn't mean you don't have to give away that $100 to Tzedakah. You have to. Who told you to buy an island?
Yeah, if he had $100 and only spent $50 for items, he would be obliged to use the other 50% for the other 50 for a personal thing, even though he clearly used his own personal money more than he necessarily should earn.
No, not 50%.
Yeah, exactly.
Within reason, 20%, less than 20%. We're talking about a guy here that he's now using 100% of his money for the mitzvah. So we're not assuming that was all the money he ever made in his life. That's what he's saying. He had a lot of money. He used it. Now he's stuck with, you know, you shouldn't have used away all your money on personal items. You should have done your mitzvahs first, and then you would have had all the money, and you could have made a better cheshbon for your personal items. That's what he's saying.